Joshua chapter 3. Let me give you the history. Joshua is nearing 80 years of age. Had he had it his way 40 years earlier, he would have already crossed in, crossed over the Jordan, and crossed into Canaan. He and Caleb came back. They had the minority report. How many of you know that the majority does not always rule and the majority is not always right? And Joshua, if he had had it his way, they would have already crossed over into the promised land. But instead, it would have taken them, scholars say it would have taken them at least probably 10 days from the time they exited Exodus, and from the time they came out of, during the Exodus and came out of Egypt, it would have taken them probably around 10 days to get there, but instead 40 years they spent wandering in the desert. Guys, let me tell you what God showed me this week. I don't want to cause him to make me spend 40 years wandering when if I'd be obedient, I'd only take 10 days to get there. Today, what I want to talk to you about is a new day. Is a new day. And I want to show you through Joshua chapter 3. They are coming to a place that they had never been before. Ridgecrest, many of you in here, Pastor Hosey is your, the only pastor you've ever had. This is new territory for you. Having another man stand behind this pulpit that you're addressing as pastor seems odd. It seems strange. It may even seem weird. But I want to show you by God's grace and through His help in the Word of God, the same God that has been with Pastor Hosey is with me, but the greatest news is He's with you. He's with us. And so Joshua chapter 3, please stand in honor of reading God's Word. Joshua chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from the acacia grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before the crossover, before they crossed over. And so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Don't miss that right there, okay? Yet there shall be a space between it, between you and it, about 2,000 cubits or about a half a mile by measure. By measure, do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, Ridgecrest, and that he will without fail drive out from before you. Now listen, before I read this, hear me. It's incredible. Pastor Travis was praying. He said, guys, there may be some of you in here. You're facing difficulties. You're facing something that you think, I can't. God, you're telling me to go here, but I've got difficulties. God is telling them, I'm about to lead you somewhere that you've never been before. But before I do, you're going to face 7 enemies. You see, before victory, there's always battles. So listen to what he says. Without fail, I will drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites, and the Termites, and the Electrolytes, all the ites. And behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into Jordan. Heavenly Father, we believe you will do what you said you will do. God, you're going to bless in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As Joshua is getting ready to prepare and to lead, some biblical scholars say, over 2 million people. relatively a young crowd. It was really the first mega young church. Because according to Hebrews, all of the adults, just about all the adults died before crossing over the Jordan. And so this was relatively a young crowd. And listen to this. Because they were a young crowd, probably all of them under the age of 40, it's don't miss this. Wilderness living was all they had ever known. Wilderness living was all they had ever known. Now listen, wilderness living is not always bad. Now let me explain real quick. God did not save us for us to wander 40 years in the wilderness. But even while we're in the wilderness, He's still there. Let me show you several things that happened to the children of Israel that caused wilderness living, and it really wasn't that bad. Number one, it was predictable. It was very familiar. That's all they had ever known. And so it was predictable. It was familiar. If we're not careful, listen to me, church. If we're not careful, we'll think change. Now, praise God, Pastor Hosey has led you to change over and over and over again. But if you're not careful, you can be in the wilderness and you'll think, what if I get outside of my comfort zone and if I have to change, that's unpredictable. That's unfamiliar. God had given them shoes that wouldn't wear out. I wish to goodness Lenore could find some. Amen? Anyway. I love you, baby. Think about that. 40-year shoes that wouldn't wear out. When they got thirsty, He gave them water from a rock. And according to 1 Corinthians 10:4, Jesus was that rock. Now, I want you to listen to this. That tells me that Jesus was with them in the wilderness. You see, folks, some of you are in the wilderness right now, and you really don't understand. You're living the life of Christianity instead of the abundant life of Christianity because you're in the wilderness and Jesus is there and you're settling. Jesus didn't bleed and die on the cross for us to settle. He didn't bleed and die on Calvary's cross for us to stay in the wilderness. He's in the wilderness with you, but He doesn't want you to take that for granted and stay there. They got hungry. He gave them manna, which literally is translated light bread. He gave them light bread from heaven. Then when they got tired of that, He literally made quail. Literally, they would land there in their presence and they were able to eat quail. God was with them in the wilderness. Listen to this statement. The wilderness can be good enough that most people are satisfied to not know anything beyond it. Wilderness living is not getting it done. As a matter of fact, church family, listen to me. Egypt represents being lost. Anytime you hear Egypt in the Bible and it's referring to the children of Israel, that's where it's speaking of a lost condition. They're in Egypt. The wilderness is a backslidden condition. Canaan is where God wants us to be. The world will never get out of Egypt until the church gets out of the wilderness. I'm telling you. We will never reach our neighbors and we will never reach the nations until the church of the living God gets out of the wilderness. We're settling when God has so much more to give us. We must believe God for more than we've ever believed Him for and seek Him and only Him. If that wasn't enough, He gave them a cloud in the day and a pillar of fire by night. God was with them in the wilderness. I wrote this statement down. God rarely requires what is easily released. God rarely requires what is easily released. You see, God was about to ask something of the Israelites. He was about to ask them to do something they had never done before. We're asking many of you to do something on this Covenant Sunday that you've never done before. We're asking you to follow another pastor. For many of you, you're thinking, I don't know. And you've told me, many people have told me, I didn't think I could take it when Pastor Hosey said he was retiring. And I understand that. We love him and we get familiar and we get comfortable. Not that he preached a comfortable message, but we get comfortable. We're asking you to do something. We're asking you to release something. And he rarely ever requires anything that is easily released. Right. Two statements that are mentioned over and over in Joshua 3. And then we're going to roll. Hurricane style, okay? Two things that are mentioned over and over in Joshua 3. But you can't miss them. Set out and crossed over. Set out and crossed over. The word set out there literally means to go forward. It means a constant going forward. It means it's a journey. Okay, so we're on a journey. The moment we get saved, we're on a journey. The phrase cross over, this verb emphasizes the decisive nature of this moment in the history of the Hebrew people. Listen to what it does. The phrase cross over means it distinguishes it from everything that had gone before. In other words, one writer said, E. John Hamlin said this, crossover connotes something with tremendous epic significance. It means something with significant epic significance. In other words, hear me guys, you can't cross over until you first set out. All right, is this thing on in the balcony? All right, you can't cross over until you first set out. Many in our congregation right now, if this line is Christianity, you're living right here. You barely got over. He's wanting you to cross over and he's wanting you to set out on a continuous journey. Set out, Ridgecrest. Keep moving forward. You've heard Pastor Hosey say over and over again, the best is yet to come. Do we believe that?
Yes.
Is it something we say or is it something we underline or do we really believe it? Deuteronomy 6:23 says, then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. In other words, don't miss this. He brought us out of Egypt so that he might bring us into Canaan. He brought me out of my sin on August the 5th. 2 days from now, on Tuesday at 1:41 p.m., 17 years ago, I pulled a truck over on the side of the road. I asked Jesus to save me. He stepped out of heaven and stepped into my life. I'll be 17 Tuesday. I'm a teenager. I praise God for it. Listen to me, guys. But he brought me out. He didn't bring me out just to say, all right, do your own thing. He brought me out to bring me in. And a lot of people in the Christian life, they're living in an area where they've stopped their journey. They're sitting down. My dear friends, there's no time to sit down. Jose Harris said, to get something you've never had, you've got to be willing to do something you've never done. The person who never makes a mistake must get awfully bored doing nothing. That's why I'm never bored. You're going to see as your pastor, I will make many, many mistakes. Why are most church services boring, though? I got to thinking about it. Why are most church services boring? And I believe it's because people in the pews often believe God for nothing. I mean, you're not believing God for something. We're not believing God for something. If I believe God for nothing, the Bible would be the most boring book in the world. It's anything but boring. Listen to me, dear friends. I may be boring. My sermon may be boring. But the book that I preach from is never boring. Matter of fact, if the last verse in the Gospel of John, I think it's John 21:25, if that's not the best closing to a book, I give up on all books. Yes. Paraphrasing it says, Jesus did many other miracles, and if it were so, and if I wrote them down, the world's not big enough to hold how many books that he did miracles and they would contain the book. If that's not the greatest ending to a book, I give up on books. Amen? I believe that God is still a God who can do miracles. So it brings me here. Ridgecrest Baptist Church. It is God who brought us here. You've heard this man say that. We're here today. Hear me. We're here today because God brought us here. It is God who will keep and preserve us here. God's the one who's going to get glory. God's the one who's going to keep us and preserve us. And it is God who would take us on from here. It is all about God. This is a story of God's intervention. The Lord can provide a way when there is no way. And here's what I want to do. Really, really quick. Now, here, let me just go ahead and tell you. I'm not going to finish my sermon. Okay? But I'm going to come back to it later on. That's the good thing. I got 30 years to preach it. Amen? Maybe more. I'll come back because it's too good. I'm telling you, I'll get to preparing a sermon and I'm there's 17 verses and I think I can't leave out a single verse because it's so good. But I want to walk through it. I want to walk through it because it's so important for the life and the season that Ridgecrest is in right now. A new day. Covenant Sunday. How do you cross over, Pastor? How do we cross over into Covenant Sunday? Well, number one, there's preparation. There's preparation. You say, what do you mean, Pastor Chad? In verse 1, it says Joshua rose early in the morning. Do you know what? Joshua is the Hebrew word of Jesus. Hebrew name for Jesus. You know what my Bible tells me about Jesus? He rose early in the morning and spent time with God the Father. You know what I did this morning? I rose early this morning and prayed and wept, got down on my face and prayed before Almighty God. Because can I tell you something? Number one, I'm not worthy to even be saved. I'm not worthy to be called to preach. But praise God, I don't do it because I'm worthy. I do it because He's worthy. I'm not worthy, I don't believe, to follow behind this man. But like his daughter said, praise God, I'm not trying to fill his shoes or follow this man. I'm following Jesus. Amen? And that's all He wants. I sat there yesterday. If you were not at the Blue Review, it was incredible. I only pray that my kids will be able to say the same thing that was said about you and Miss Debbie. But there's preparation. You see, Joshua meditated on God's Word. Listen to Joshua 1, verse 7. Now, this is God talking to Joshua. It says, the Lord spoke to Joshua, and He said this. He said, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do that, so he says, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. But listen to what it says. But you shall meditate in it day and night. Now the word meditate there is a word they used to say, some of you love this, and you've probably heard it before, but it's a word that was used for a cow to chew the cud. A cow would chew the cud. In other words, he would get him a good old bite of hay or grass, he would chew it and he would swallow it. But later on in the day, he would regurgitate it back up and chew on it a little bit more. Can I get a witness? Watch this. I wake up early in the morning, according to Joshua 1 verse 8. Or whenever you read God's Word and you're studying, you're praying, and the Spirit of the living God begins to talk to you while you're reading God's Word, and it's speaking to you, dear friends, it's speaking to you. Right. You hide it down in your heart. You go throughout your day, and the day gets hard, and the enemy begins to attack, and you're able to regurgitate the Word of God, and you're able, and it brings to your mind the things that you had read, and you're able to hide it back in your heart again. He says, meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do all according to that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. In verse 2 it says, that so he went 3 days, and that the officers, so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. The Ark of the Covenant. Why was it so important to have the Ark of the Covenant there? Think about this. There were some truths about that Ark. The Ark represented the presence of God. The Ark represented the power of God. The Ark represented the provisions of God. In other words, hear me guys, the Ark represented Jesus. Can I tell you a fear, or I would say a godly fear of mine as a leader and as a pastor of this church, is that I would not lift Jesus high enough that you would know to follow him. And instead, you may follow me. You see, Joshua said, when you see the ark, go after it. When you see the ark, go after it. It's the same thing that we learned in experiencing God. Henry Blackaby said, find out where God is and join him in the movement. Well, I want to find out where the ark is and I want to join it in the movement. I want to find out where Jesus is, and I don't care where he leads, I will go. We're to lift him high. Why such a need to follow the Ark of the Covenant? Why such a need, Ridgecrest Baptist Church, to follow after God? Because in verse 4 it says, for you have not passed this way before. You've not passed this way before. And here we go, guys. 30 years. You haven't passed this way before. Chuck Swindoll said this. We are all faced with a series of great opportunities brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. I tell you, Dr. Gregory Frizzell touched my heart when he stood up behind this pulpit and he made the statement, many people tell you it's impossible to follow a long-tenured pastor. He said, that's from the pit of hell. Yeah. I'm driving back from Atlanta when I heard that, because Lenore and I were praying and fasting and just, actually, we hadn't even started praying and fasting yet, and David Burton had sent me the link to that sermon, and when I heard that, I'm thinking, because everybody I asked to pray for me, every single mentor of mine told me, don't do it. Uh-huh. But how many of you know that when God tells you to do something, it doesn't matter who tells you not to? Preparation. Number two, sanctification. Sanctification. You see, this is a call to prepare for a manifestation of God for all the earth. So in other words, God tells the children of Israel, who says this, this is so good. Ridgecrest Baptist Church, you could put your name here. He says, you heard what we prayed just a moment ago. We believe revival is coming. And I really do believe that the majority of you are really praying for revival. Well, before revival comes, the church must get right with God. And God is telling the children of Israel, I'm about to do something with you. But before I do, you got to get clean. You got to get clean. Verse 5, he says, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. In other words, number one, he told them, he said, separate yourselves from defiling sin. Separate yourselves from defiling sin. Hey, watch this. This is good. Don't miss this. Here's the children of Israel. They cross over. They immediately go to Jericho. And my Bible tells me in Joshua chapter 6 that it was so shut up that no one went out and no one came in. It was a fortified city. And what did God tell them to do? Hey, get your trumpet players. March around the walls. March around it 7 days. I want you to be blowing and singing and dancing. Can you imagine the people in Jericho? They're a bunch of nuts. You know what Brother William McWilliams said? Brother Mac preached my ordination service. Brother Mac said, everybody calls me a nut, but praise God, I'm screwed on the right bolt. Can I get away? They may have been nuts, but they were screwed on the right bolt. Amen? And what happened? We know what happened. Because they had sanctified themselves, because they got right with God, God won the victory for them. Then fast forward to Joshua chapter 7. Ai. Joshua, don't send out that many. Don't even send that many people. It's a weak city. There are few people. Don't miss this, guys. But because they sinned, listen to me, Ridgecrest Baptist Church. It is very important. You say, but my sin's not bothering anybody but me. No. It's always bothering someone else. If you're in the family of God, you're part of the body of Christ. There's nothing on my body that can hurt that it doesn't affect my whole body. And he says, sanctify yourself. And they didn't do it. And listen to Joshua chapter 7, verse 13. Joshua told the people, the children of Israel, before they fought in Ai, he says, get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Oh, dear friends, Ridgecrest, listen, it is so important this morning that we get right with God, that we confess our sins, that we sanctify ourselves. It literally means to wash your clothes, to put new ones on. It means a new thing. That's why it says in Lamentations 3, His mercies are new every day. We're to get right with God this morning. Listen, there used to be preaching behind pulpits over and over and over again. But then in my generation, it's almost like we want to preach, well, let's just see how much sin we can do and get away with it and still be saved. That's not found in the Bible, dear friends. We got to get back to holy living. I drove by Thursday and about went into tears seeing, and I praise God for our Celebrate Recovery. And I got to thinking, I praise God for you who participate in Celebrate Recovery at this church. Can I tell you what I'm not going to do as your pastor? I'm not going to compromise and be soft on the sin that is destroying so many lives and say, oh, it's okay if you do it in moderation. No, dear friends, thank God when Jesus went to the cross, He didn't do it in moderation. He went all the way to the cross. And when we come to live the Christian life, we're to live it all the way. We cannot be soft on sin. Rewind that clock. Oh, there's so much in this passage. But listen here. Not only, don't miss this. Most of us don't lose the fight in the big areas of our life, but in the small areas. I was talking to a very good friend of mine yesterday. And we were in the Bass Pro Shop. I think that's 4 days in a row. Anyway, we were in the Bass Pro Shop, and he said, I was listening to a sermon by Adrian Rogers, and he said, Adrian Rogers said something. He said, I'd never thought about it before. But he mentioned all of these great men of the Bible, and he said, you know what? They fell where they thought they were strong. Ridgecrest, in the area where we think we're strong, take heed lest you fall. Sanctify yourselves. Then there's a setting apart of ourselves for God's will and the purpose for our life. So you sanctify, you separate yourself from God's will. I mean, separate from defiling sin and then set yourself apart for God's will and God's purpose. God has chosen not to work in all His fullness in the lives of people who are unwilling to open their hearts to His cleansing and to His leadership. Our Jordan will look smaller once we have confessed our sin and yielded wholly to God. Y'all remember? Let me just say this and I'm done. My goodness. I got 2 pages full of notes left. Do you remember in Numbers when Moses sent out Joshua and Caleb? He sent out the 12 spies. And when he sent out the 12 spies, what did they do? The 10 came back. We can't go over there. They're giants. And I'm assuming they talk like that, okay? And anyway, and Joshua and Caleb came, you know. But Joshua and Caleb, they came. They said, no. They're not giants. They're grasshoppers. They're bread to us. Now listen to me. What do you do with bread? You eat it. When you eat too much bread, you enlarge. Are you listening? The reason the church is so weak and almost anorexic is because we're not eating our giants, we're fearing and fleeing them. When you see your giants as bread, you eat it. And it strengthens you. And that's what He is saying to the children of Israel. Get ready. I'm about to do a wondrous thing. Hey, when you get on down to verse 17, 13 through 17, he talks about the river. They were crossed over. But I love the part where it says, until they step into the Jordan, then that's when it's... You see, some of you right now, you're coming to the edge and you're thinking, oh, but I can't, God, I can't. He may just be waiting to see if you got enough faith to step into the water. Then when you step into the water, He's going to cause that thing to back up. And everybody's going to know. But I wrote this statement down. Question
question. Will the children of Israel, and then I marked it out, Pastor Hosey, will Ridgecrest Baptist Church today, will Ridgecrest Baptist Church hesitate in fear? Will we hesitate in fear? Or will we advance in faith?
Lord, let it be.
Will we hesitate in fear? Oh, I don't know. Or will we advance in faith? Why was it so important to cross over the Jordan and to go into Canaan? It's the invitation. Why was it so important? Pastor Travis, go ahead and come on up. Musicians. Why was it so important? Now here we go. Do you know what's in Canaan? Bethlehem. Do you know who was prophesied to be born in Bethlehem? Jesus. You see, hear me. From the time that He said, in the beginning, God, He had a purpose. And He's got a purpose for you. And if He had a purpose for the children of Israel to cross over to go to Bethlehem so that the Savior of the world will be born, He's got a purpose for you sitting in that pew right now, that if you've never repented of your sins and placed Jesus as Lord of your life and asked Him to save you, and many of you are on the verge of that, you're at the edge of your Jordan and Jesus is saying, I am the bridge that gets you over to that to God. He's wanting you right now. Just reach out your hand. Reach out your heart. Jesus, save me. Many of you are waiting. I don't know, do I join that church? You join this church, and I promise you this much, you're going to have a Bible-preaching, Bible-singing, Bible-believing church. Join us. We need you. There's too many lost people right now in Springfield. This is the invitation. I'm going to ask our elders to come forth, our staff to come forth, make your way in the balcony. In the balcony, pay very close attention. We're going to have a staff member or an elder on this side of the balcony and on this side of the balcony. That way you don't have to come all the way down. Now, they're going to lead you on what to do. But if you feel led to join this church, go to one of them. They're going to help you. If you are under deep conviction and you need to be saved, go to one of them. They'll talk to you and they'll lead you down here. Down front, we're going to be at the front of every aisle. We want you to come. This is so simple. If you've never been saved, come. We want to lead you to the cross. We can't save you. We can lead you to someone who can. If you want to join this church, we ask you to come. Maybe to come through believer's baptism. Whatever decision, come. Heavenly Father, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand, you come right now.